Air 105.9.
It's a paid commercial presentation. The comments, views, and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff, management, or advertisers of Delaware 105.9.
Everyone, it's 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, so it's the Delmarva Potting Shed coming to you from East Coast Garden Center. Got a big day going today. Our premier event today is our yard sale. We've had people here already, but there's still plenty of good things to look at. So this morning, I'm solo at the controls with Lawrence and various guests that'll be on with us. And we hope you have a good morning of just fun and information. If you'd like to call us or text us, it's 302-839-1059. And we're at the Garden Center here today from 8 to 5 and tomorrow 9 to 4. So the first thing that I want to start off with is just to give you a little overview of what the morning's going to be like. As a part of our fall festival, we did a series of classes. Fall is for planting, and featured different aspects of either the planting, the designs, proper techniques, functionality. And so this morning you're going to have several of the instructors on. Some of the classes have already happened, so the idea is to share with our listeners the main points of the classes themselves, and then also we've got one class left next week, which is on privacy screens. Few guests coming in with us this morning. We've got folks in from Milton, and we also the Master Gardeners. So I think it's just going to be a fun day today. And my first guest this morning is Mark Vogel, who is Mark is no stranger to the Delmarva Potting Shed. And we were very fortunate this week to have Mark do not only a class on proper planting of trees and shrubs, but he also shared with everyone the design that he did for our tribute to Al, and got on his hands and knees, and he put that tree in the ground.
It was a great day.
It was a great morning. So, Mark, one of the things I wanted to do, because you've been on the show a lot, but I don't know that everybody knows that much about you know, we always talk about what talented people we have here, what experience they have, just how great the designers are. So just share a little bit of your background. And
sure. And I've said before on the radio, I moved here almost 3.5 years ago now, mm-hmm. which is pretty amazing, being here with the Cordry family and everyone here. But prior to that was Annapolis, Maryland area. My last stint for 14 years there was with a company in Montgomery County where we did a lot of high-end residential work, very involved in the project management end, construction, designed a lot of different things.
Yeah.
But pools, outdoor kitchens, you know, we had a lot of topography in
mm-hmm.
Maryland.
Yeah, right. Real different from here.
We don't have so much here. So when we do have a little topography here, you know, I love it.
Yeah.
And in fact, I've helped out, you know, some of my colleagues on a couple projects where terracing's involved.
Right. So I know that teasingly somebody called you last week, I think, the Boulder Man. What?
That would have been Rick. He dubbed me that name.
But I'm. You do. It is a signature of yours.
Absolutely.
So what got you there?
Honestly, this goes back years and years and years. My mother loved rocks.
Mm.
Growing up in Annapolis, all our relatives were in Baltimore, and we would go up for Easter, Christmas, every year
wow.
as kids. But up there, there was a road called Bedonia Road. And on this road at the time, it used to be very windy.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a station wagon, and Mom, every time we came home, would pull off the side of the road, drove our father crazy. But she would load up the back of the station wagon with these rocks. And then we would help her take them out back. And, I mean, we had a beautiful rock garden. So I'd have to say that was probably how I got into them.
That is amazing.
And then, needless to say, they certainly went from rocks to boulders.
Boulders, right. Mm-hmm. That's true.
But I just believe, you know, that stone belongs in the landscape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
stone and plants belong together. I mean, that's... I'm just a diehard fan.
And it shows. It shows in your work too. So, like I said, we had the fortune of having you give a class this past week on the proper planting of shrubs and trees.
Fun.
But Mother Nature threw us a little bit of a curve.
Yes, she did.
And time for the class at 11 o'clock, and it was pouring rain. So you
improvised for an hour, which was great.
You improvised, and you know, were able to set up inside and used a container tree instead mm-hmm. of a bald and burlap. So I thought it might be, as customers commented to me after the class, quite a few of them said, this was really great. This was really informative. I've learned all the things that I've been doing wrong all this year, all this
well,
time.
Well, there's so much to know. I mean, right. There truly is. You know, and I stressed it over and over again.
Mm-hmm. And I remember, so I thought, well, for the folks out there, in terms of the key things that you got to take into account, where would you start, Mark, with the site or the plant, or what order do you put that in when you look at things?
I mean, there's so many things we could address mm-hmm. with regards to planning, but I think for you listeners, and something I can explain over the radio,
yeah.
And that being, one, if you dig your hole to begin with and you're seeing water, plant high, which
yep.
I said in the class
right.
over and over again. Better to plant high than low. Never plant low.
Never, right.
Trees, you know, I like seeing the top of the root ball every bit of a couple inches above grade.
Mm-hmm.
Again, for listeners, when you plant anything, whether it's a tree or a shrub, always bring your soil right up to the edge, top edge of the
mm-hmm.
ball. Note. Don't ever put soil on top of the bowl, ever. Just
right.
a light dusting of mulch when you're all said and done. You know, we discussed the width of the hole, and, you know, you always see the dig 12 inches around
mm-hmm.
the ball and twice the size
right.
of the shrub.
Right.
And here, when you get into these clay soils being so hard, it's very difficult to try
right.
to follow that rule. And it's... you know, I think as long as you go at least 6 inches around
mm-hmm.
a tree ball, whether
right.
a container, B&B material, is important. So depth is a huge thing. Again, you always want to see that ball a little bit higher than grade to begin with.
Mm-hmm. And I know one of the things that you were explaining that I think was people were really taking in was when you were talking about the size of to dig the hole was actually that those roots eventually are going to be seeking native soil and
yep.
you know that's
yeah, that
where
was
they're
a big
going
thing, you know. And again, so many folks think, you know, okay, well, you can put in soil amendments so forth, and that's great. It's going to start off that tree, but sure, eventually, I mean, those roots are going to go right into that
right.
native soil, wherever the edge of your hole
mm-hmm.
was, that's where those roots are going to wind
mm-hmm.
up going again. So, yeah, we had questions about drainage and
right.
sand and stone and so forth. And, again, it all depends on the situation.
Right.
But trying to do those kind of amendments and to fix drainage just honestly doesn't help a whole lot.
Right, and I think that was a key thing for people to differentiate with. You know, when you, like you say, when you've got a tree that eventually is going to have a canopy, you know, 30, 40 feet wide, well, what's above ground is underground, too. So those roots are going to go, you know, a pretty far distance
sure.
out there. And a little different from what, you know, they face with the shrubs and amending the soil and doing those types of things there. So I thought, as I watched people respond to things with these light bulbs going off as they
were. That's what was nice. There was a lot of interaction. Obviously, a lot of questions. And, you know, I think it just took a few minutes, but then people were obviously inquiring.
Yeah. I think the other thing that was helpful for folks when you were talking, when you took the container tree out of the container,
yep,
had the exposed root ball, which was nice because if it had been B&B, you know, it wouldn't have been as exposed to look at, and you kind of were going through the fundamentals of the container roots and what to look for,
sure,
what to do, and those
yeah,
types
well,
of things.
Yeah, well, in fact, I mean, with the yard sale out here, I was just out there before I came in, and a lady was purchasing a winterberry.
Uh-huh.
So I just looked at the top of it, and I noticed, I was like, I bet this is root-bound, so I just popped it out of the container just to show her, and I told her, please feel free, you know, to scratch these roots. The bottom was loaded, just like the tree,
right,
during the class. And to show folks, you know, it does not hurt the plant whatsoever. It's good to loosen up those roots. Just because you put it right back in the ground and it's root bound, it's just going to continue to grow in a circular pattern. So don't be afraid to scratch up those roots, loosen it up. But, you know, perennials, that's a different story. Yeah, don't go crazy and break up the whole ball.
Right.
Then you get too much air in there, and I don't like that.
No. And I think the other thing that helped people, too, is you explain the difference between how container trees are grown and, you know, put into retail as opposed to the bald and burlaps. I think that might be interesting for folks also.
Yeah, and we've, I'd say this past year, Rick in particular, and everyone else who's ordering these trees, you know, going with the containerized plants, it's grown in a container. So the amount of roots you have with that plant obviously is tremendously a lot more than a B&B tree. That B&B tree, once they go in there with a tree spade, you know, there goes 50% of your roots, if not more.
Right.
So, containerized plants, I'm a fan of. I think for the crews, you know, you get these 30-gallon plants, 25-gallon plants, you know, and you have a handle.
Yeah.
So a lot easier to manage on-site, as well as even, you know, we were talking about the face. Maybe we can talk about that later, but you know, being able to turn the plant, it's a lot easier on site to install.
Yeah. So we're coming up on our first break. I do want to continue with Mark a little bit after the break because I think the high point of the class was the planting of the memorial tree for Al Manny.
Absolutely.
I think that listeners would be eager to hear, like, why you picked the tree you did and how you approached it and your inspiration for the design up there.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
People haven't seen it yet, then you definitely need to stop by and take a look at the entrance. It's really quite beautiful. So we're here this morning from East Coast Garden Center at the Delmarva Potting Shed. We'll be here from 9 to 11, and give us a call, 302-839-1059, and we'll see you in a few minutes. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Delmarva Potting Shed. This is Donna here with Lawrence at the controls, and Mark Vogel has been with me this morning. We've been talking about a class that he did on the proper planting of trees, but also as a part of that class, unfortunately, we lost one of our colleagues earlier in the year. Al Manny had been here for 10 years. And so one of the things that we wanted to do was really give a tribute to Al. And we decided the most appropriate way was to plant a tree in honor of him. So, Mark, we talked to him, and he did the design at the entrance where we already have a beautiful design of his. So, Mark, I just wanted to give you the opportunity to kind of explain your inspiration, the tree you chose, and how you went about what you did.
Sure. Well, the inspiration, needless to say, was Al. It was really great to have his daughter here. Who came from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Tiffany and his grandson Zach came down.
So that was very cool. But anyway, inspiration obviously was Al. I remember Katie and Terry had engaged me with regards to where do you think would be a good spot? And the entrance just came to mind immediately. One, because we pretty much have an established garden out there now. Display area, hardscape display area. But, I mean, once I thought of a tree, I mean, my first thought of a tree was a Japanese maple or Acer palmatum, not dissectum, which is a cut-leaf maple.
Right.
So it's going to be the larger ornamental tree, probably 15 feet. But, you know, everything around here is green, too, and I just saw it. I think the Japanese maple, it's my favorite tree of all trees to begin with. With the gray bark, you know, in time, they call it a muscular bark.
That's Al.
And, yeah, so it was very appropriate. And then the red foliage, which in the fall is, you know, it's going to just brighten up again, which will be very cool. So with that said, I just, and the tree, then, of course, it has to have a companion boulder, which is picked out in the yard. We just haven't set the rock yet.
Okay.
But just having that out there, we lifted the tree. You know, again, it's very flat out there. So just like the display area, we played with the grades, manipulated them, raised the tree to raise Al up, if you will. and then you presented the nice little stone that was engraved with the... Big Al's name
Big Al,
on it.
Big Al, forever our nurseryman.
Yeah, it was very cool to be a part of it. You know, obviously, again, during the class, we were in here for an hour, and the rain was beating
down
on the greenhouses. But then it opened up, and it dried up, so we went right out, and I was on a mission to plant that tree regardless.
Mark kept saying, we're going to get this tree in the ground. But, yeah,
well, especially for his daughter and grandson being in. It was like, we're getting it in. And fortunately, everybody was able to go out there, and we literally did everything that I talked about in the class got the tree planted. So it was nice.
People were very appreciative, and the turnout was just great. So, Mark, thanks for joining us on the show this
morning.
Sure, my
pleasure.
It's just so important to have you in and talk about things that are of such interest to our customers.
I appreciate it.
And joining us now is one of our sales reps, Rick Beeson. And Rick is also involved in classes this Tuesday. He'll be doing a class at 11 o'clock on privacy screens. And it's Rick has done other classes on that before. And so even though we haven't had the class yet, I thought it'd be good to have you come in and talk a little bit about it. But also wanted you to share a little bit about your background, Rick, because I know gardening is in there.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. So I started off with my father working in the garden center when I was a kid, about 10 years old, just cutting grass and doing whatever 10-year kids do, and sold Christmas trees and... you know, it was a lot of fun, and, you know, I continued to work with my father and in some other locations, Almart stores, which probably no one has heard of, but it's sort of like a Walmart, but only much better. But anyway, in any event, then we also had a nursery and garden center in Townsend, Delaware. So I had worked there, and we worked there together in the garden center, and so I basically grew up in the business, and... you know, had a love for it. My father had a love for trees, and I followed along with him, and certainly wanted to make sure that you know, I continued to work in it. And so it was great to have the opportunity to come here a couple years ago, and you know, learn some things. There's a lot of things that when I was younger, there was weren't as many cultivars of plants and different things as there are now. So, you know, it was a good learning experience for me, and, you know, I've enjoyed working here and, you know, working with our customers. As far as the our meeting on Tuesday, it's 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock, right.
And it's on privacy screening. And a lot of our customers come in and are asking for plants or trees that will screen, you know, whether it's a neighbor's house or whether it's something on their own property, utilities, or whatever the case may be. But there's a lot of need for that. And as you know, we sell a lot of a lot of plants and trees for that. Certainly, basically what happens is that, you know, customer comes in and asks, you know, for the screen, you know, what they're looking for, and we recommend. So we sell a lot of arborvitaes, we sell a lot of laurels, we sell a lot of skip laurels, and, you know, it basically meets the needs of what the consumer is looking for.
Right.
And I think the other thing is that what we're able to do is not everybody needs bigger trees or bigger plants. Sometimes they need something small to go around a patio.
Right.
And there we can recommend, you know, plants on a trellis, or we can recommend plants in containers, and basically to help that situation and give
hold
it a
that
screen.
Hold that thought, Rick. I've let the break sneak up on me.
All right.
And we'll come back and talk a little more about the class. So. Folks, we'll be back in just a few minutes. Again, you're at the Del Mar Podcast.
The following program is a paid commercial presentation. The comments, views, and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff, management, or advertisers of Delaware 1059.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Del Mar Potting Shed. This is Donna. I've got Lawrence here on the controls. We've been talking with Rick. He's going to talk a little more about privacy screens. And during the break, both Stacy and Rachel have joined me, and they also did classes. And we'll switch over to them after that. But let me remind you first that there's a lot going on here this morning. We've got a magnificent yard sale. I have seen wagon after wagon after wagon full of shrubs, trees, perennials. I don't know if the mums are all gone we had out there, the ones that are in full bloom. So there's a lot of really great bargains. You would be amazed at the prices. And if all that shopping makes you hungry, then we've got hot dogs, free hot dogs that'll be here for lunch. And also, we've got a pumpkin painting contest going on, and it's for both kids and adults. And you know, you come in, you get your pumpkin, and then you can either do it here or take it home and paint it, and then bring it back, and we're going to have a judging for it. So, again, a lot going on. We've got one more week of Harvest Fest next weekend, and that's going to be the Nanticoke Health Fair, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. So, Rick, we were talking about privacy screens, and, you know, as you approach this, why don't you share some of the key things that you're going to be touching on with that?
Okay, you know, first of all, we'll be talking about, of course, our best sellers.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be talking about arborvitae, we'll be talking about skip laurels and the ones that are typically used. But also we need to think about how to add color and how to add texture to the borders and screening that, you know, customers are going to put up. So the ones we talked about were evergreen, so it would be nice to plant flowering plants around mm-hmm. them, whether they're evergreen or deciduous, to sort of just, you know, break it up a little bit and add a little more to it, a little
right.
more texture and color. One of the slides we use there is called flowering arborvitaes, which I think is pretty interesting
mm-hmm.
because there are no flowering
right.
arborvitaes. However, there's one the shot that we have in it, it has two crepe myrtles in it, so it just gives a little more
mm-hmm.
you know, color and a little more to it than just straight evergreens.
Right.
And the other thing I think we should talk about, too, is, you know, a lot of times you want to have more than just one plant or one tree in a border or a screen. Because for several reasons. Number one, not only to add more, more you know, interest and texture to it, but also in case there's a problem with one of the
mm-hmm.
plants that are there, you know, that could perhaps a disease or insect could
right.
Do some damage to it. We have some other things there that, you know, will continue to grow. And whether
right.
it's a rhododendron or an azalea, if it's a you know, if it's a shady location or if it's a Rose of Sharon, you know, in a sunny location, just add more, you know, just add more to it and you know, sort of have a diversity there. And,
right.
And, you know, to, you know, like I said, add more to it. And
right.
You know, it,
and I think that's the first time I saw you do this class that I think really is an eye-opener for folks is, yes, we'll talk about the functionality of the screen and, you know, right. And that's thought of as a very linear, you know, type of thing. But it's interesting that the terminology used, because at first it was a screen, but then what you do is evolve into a border. And I think that's really the learnings as to not only do you get the privacy, but you can begin to, as you said, add texture, depth, dimension, you know, to it, so that you're not just looking at it at a wall of green, but you actually have, you know, a beautiful landscape there to look at too. So, I would encourage everybody that's interested in this class sign up. It's going to be this Tuesday at 11 a.m. The cost of the class is $5, but if you sign up for the class, you're going to get a $10 coupon for holidays, and we'll talk more about that. That's our next big series of events coming up. And so we'll see you at the class. You can sign up online. If you go to our website, you'll see an events tab. You can sign up there, or just call into the Garden Center, and we'll take your name and information over the phone. So, Rick, I think we need you back out there in the yard sale, and thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you very much.
And I'm going to turn it over now. I'm going to talk a little bit about fall annuals and perennials and grasses and bulbs. And as I mentioned, this whole series of Harvest Fest, we've had a series of classes called Fall is for Planting. And really, one of the things that we want to make sure that people understand, if you weren't here at the class for that discussion, is, you know, the major times for planting are fall and spring. And fall is the time for planting, but I would insert another word there and say that fall is the best time for planting. It really gives, and especially in the different classes, you'll hear the instructors talk about the importance of root growth. If you don't start out with the proper root growth, you're going to be fighting uphill the rest of the time. So Stacy has joined us, and one of the classes that Stacy did was on fall annuals and perennials. And Stacy, welcome to the show. And like everybody else, I said, well, tell us a little bit about how Stacy got into the Garden Center world.
Good morning. How I found myself here?
And just your expertise in gardening and how that all has evolved for you.
Okay. Always been very interested in both science and art. And to me, gardening is a blend of both. So it's just kind of perfect. And it started out just as a fun hobby I could do with the kids, and a way to be creative when I was a stay-at-home mom for several years. I had a lot of fails, and through trial and error and doing more research, I delved into more of the science of why things were or weren't working, you know, finding out, learning about right plant, right place, and maybe some other things that were going on. And got better at it,
yeah,
you know? and really began to love it instead of feeling so discouraged. So then that led me here because I was ready to go back to work part-time, and if I was thinking if I could do anything, it would be if I could find a really nice garden center where I could grow and learn more as a gardener and then help other people, then that would be perfect.
That
eventually
is
I became full
right
time.
Blend. Yeah, that's the thing is too. I know I tell you all the time that you have a great eye, and you mentioned the love of both the artistic and the science, and you know, you get to see Stacy's handiwork around here, not only with when she waits on you and helps you in terms of bringing together designs, but also the artwork that you do here in the Garden Center too.
Thanks. And today I'll be face painting.
So yeah, that's right. Yes, come get your face painted.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So in the class, yours was focused on fall annuals and perennials, and One of the things that I think was helpful with the class is you had examples of every plant that you were talking about so people could touch it, see it, and then also you did a walk around. But what were some of the key takeaways that you thought people got with the class, especially in terms of what I need to do now and why I need to do it now?
Right. Well, we talked about why fall is such a great time to plant, and with the soil still being warm, but it not being so hot outside that these things are going to fry, and until they get their roots established, until they can provide more of their own intake on the water. So that's one of the reasons. We talked about mulching, because again, they might not be completely ready for winter if not, so that helps control the soil temperature and regulate that, and also the moisture as well. So we talked a lot about that, and combinations of annuals and perennials, and how things flowering at different times and coming into the spotlight at different times of the year. It's important to think about that when you're planning your garden, or even your containers, if you're container gardening, so that you always have something that's in the spotlight and maybe helping hide something else as its foliage or its flowers are starting to fade.
And I think that's one of the things with not only your class but also with Rachel's, that a lot of people hadn't had it introduced to them, but got them to thinking along lines of sequential gardening, so that everything has certain seasons of bloom, of color, of foliage change, and so that you look at it more as a complete palette rather than just I'm going to do a cluster of this here and a cluster of that there.
Absolutely.
So I think that was very, very helpful for people as you were able to talk to that with the plants in front of you. So I know that you looked at a lot of plants, but why don't you share with them a little bit on what your just knockout favorites are, and we've still got them here too, I believe.
Right, yeah. So year-round, a couple of my favorites that are perennial but are evergreen are the heuchera or coral bells. They come in so many colors, and whether you like things more in the bright jewel tone family or just, basic shade of green, or you like more pastels, there's a heuchera out there for you.
Anyone up right.
Yeah. And then also the ferns, like the autumn brilliance fern, and we just got more of those in. That's beautiful, and it changes, with its new growth being a coppery orange and then gradually changing to bronze and green.
Right.
There's some beautiful new asters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Blue Bayou aster is a vibrant indigo color, and they have like little pom-poms on there. We sold out. We had to order more in.
Right.
Those are great, and they're kind of on the smaller side of asters. They would go in the front of your border. And then we got in this really interesting Tartarian aster, which Lawrence over there. The Tartarian aster grows to 4 to 5 feet.
Yeah, this is it's
the one that I brought
folks.
In here. Yeah,
this is the biggest aster I've ever seen.
It's easily 3 feet now in the pot. It's from Japan, and it grows, like I said, 4 to 5 feet. It has large leaves, kind of like a chard, and then could look really nice in the back of your border. It's got very cheery, kind of a periwinkle, bluish purple colored flower with a bright yellow center. I like that one a lot. And then the perennial chrysanthemums, the campfire glow, that's a favorite. I had to take one of those home myself. That should be blooming within this week.
Right.
So that's a nice late bloomer and has a bit of an autumnal color to it.
Right.
You think of an orange. There's this new salvia that we got in that's a very dwarf variety.
Great.
It's called Rose Marble. I think we may have had it before, but I'm really noticing it now because of the vibrancy of the color. And it only gets to a foot tall, so you can put that in the front of the border.
So I'm going to stop us for a minute. We are bumping up against a commercial break. And we'll come back and close things out with Stacy, and then we're going to talk to Rachel a little bit. We've got so much to share with you. And you're listening to the Delmarva Potting Shed. And we'll be back in just a few seconds. Good morning and welcome back to the Delmarva Potting Shed. This is Donna here with Lawrence on the controls. We've been doing a lot of talking, so we want you to jump in and give us a call too. You can either text us or call us at 302-839-1059. Again, we've got our yard sale going on this morning, and on the show we've been talking about the classes that we've held recently and sharing not only the information from the classes, but also to give you a chance to get to know the instructors and our designers. Stacy's been talking about the fall annuals and perennials, and so with that, I think the thing that you were talking about, how you can do combinations and things together. So, you know, when people come in, you can help them with that, right?
Definitely. And I always like to throw in a couple evergreen things with things that, you know, bloom right. different seasons. And there's no rule that says you can't mix annuals in with that, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Just leave a few pockets or a border in the front and, you know, put some pansies in there so you've got color now through
right.
the winter. Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, these, I'm just giving you a flavor of the classes and some of the things that the skills and background of our instructors. So I'm going to switch over to Rachel now. And Rachel did the class on fall bulbs, but she also did a class on grasses. And it all of these classes, I sound redundant, and I am, because every class was great. The response was great. And we're just so fortunate to have such talented people working here. So, Rachel, I start off with everybody going, so how did you get into plants? What is your history that said, well, I'm going to go work at a garden center?
Well, gardening's been a part of my life as long as I can remember. I literally can't remember a time I wasn't regularly with my hands in the dirt planting. We always had a huge vegetable garden, like, not just big, huge. When we moved to Pennsylvania, we bought a part of the land from a farmer. We bought a farmhouse and a section of his land, and then he built his house next door. And we planted a huge garden, and, you know, he would go, that's a nice looking garden. He said, I wouldn't call that a garden, though. I would call that a farm. He's like, that's a big garden. So, it was really, you know, certainly my dad was a big part of that, too. But I got to give the main credit to my mom. She was just very interested in all we would go out and identify plants in the field. We would, this time of year, we would be in foraging for goldenrod and sweet Annie and sweet everlasting and mugwort, and we would cut them down, and she would make wreaths. She was a floral designer. We made lotions and skincare products with herbs, and she was very deeply interested into all of the wonders of the plant plant world, and so I certainly learned a lot from her.
Well, any customer that's had you wait on them, they have had the benefit of your expertise. So why don't we share give people an idea of what's waiting for them here. You covered the your class was on grasses, ornamental grasses, but also fall bulbs. And I know you've been very excited about what we currently have and some of the things you highlighted in your class.
Yes. Right now we've got this, the muley grass is in full bloom right now. And as you were talking about sequential gardening and, you know, the grass is really coming to their own late summer and fall. They are just gorgeous. The muley grass is got these beautiful pink tassels right now that almost look like a cloud. They are just stunning. And they're a native. They feed the birds, and as fantastic and exotic and, you know, as they look, they are very easy to grow, very, you know, natural in this area. So it's a great choice, and they are glowing right now.
Yeah, and it reminds me of cotton candy. It's just so it's so feathery and light and beautiful. So, no, go ahead.
We also have the standing ovation. That's a little blue stem. That's another native. Mm-hmm. It feeds the birds, just like the muley right. grass does. I know you like to feed the
yes,
birds,
I do.
Donna. So that is also really pretty. It changes from blue-greens during the summer, and by the it further into the fall, it'll be oranges and, mm-hmm. and reds. Right now, it's in between, so it's this magical kind of purple-pink color that it goes right in with the muley grass, yeah. and you've just got to see it to believe
you know,
it. I wish I could show a picture over the radio.
And I think that's a key thing with why we're emphasizing the ornamental grasses now is they are in their full, you know, splendor. When you come in the spring and you're getting ready to, you know, make some decisions, the grasses don't look their best then. I mean, they're,
right.
it's great to plant them then, but they
true.
Don't quite look their best with that. And Rachel, I know that we were also going to mention why, I mean, it's spring bulbs, but why you need to worry about your bulbs right now.
Yes. Come spring, after a long winter, that pop of color, those things just popping out of the ground and giving us color that, you know, we're starving for is just so, is such a welcome sight in the spring. But in order to have that, you've got to think about it now.
So get
and
in.
You've got to plant it now.
Get so, in here now.
That's right.
And we've got the bulbs. We've got the equipment to plant the bulbs. And we're going to take another short break. And then I've got Deb queued up here. She's one of our designers. And we're going to talk some more about fall inspiration and the things that you...
The following program is a paid commercial presentation. The comments, views, and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff, management, or advertisers of Delaware 1059.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Delmarva Potting Shed. We're into our second hour now, and we're here at East Coast Garden Center. Please, if you'd like to talk with us or text us, 302-839-1059, and at East Coast Garden Center, we are here 7 days a week. We're open 8 to 5, Monday through Saturday, and Sunday on from 9 to 4. This morning, we've got a great, great yard sale going on. Again, there's just wagons after wagons of plant material. We've got larger shrubs. We've got trees. We've got perennials, almost anything you can imagine. I forgot to mention, too, in addition to the plants, we also have some of our hard goods in the yard sale, too. They're over in the Secret Garden, and when I looked this morning, we've got fountains, we've got pottery, just a lot of different things to choose from. So welcome back. We've been talking about fall planting, and what better way to finish it out than to talk with Deb, who's joined us, one of our designers. And I asked Deb what she would like to talk about. And so one of the things she's going to talk about is, the fall things that inspire her in the fall and how she works the designs. But Deb, you know, with everybody else, it's like a little bit about your background, because you're here. People know we've got talented folks here, but I'd like to share a little bit about you.
Sure. I'm actually a licensed landscape architect. I work with four other designers, so we have a total of five that are actually here to assist in, you know, coming out to your site, assessing it, looking at sun angles, and helping you come up with a plan for installing your gardens. Background is really went to Penn State for mm-hmm. my education. It's a mixture of classes, including some horticulture classes. And I've been working here at East Coast for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, the thing that is, as I think about the five designers, it's each one of you have got your, not surprisingly, your own niche, your own approach. And so I was curious with, as you think about fall, when, you know, how do you approach your designs with the season changing? What is that, what does a seasonal change do for how you approach things?
Well, it really, when I'm looking at a design and working for creating a new garden for somebody, I'm looking to actually, I've said this before on the radio, it's like creating a symphony. You have plants that will start to sing in early spring. Mm-hmm. You know, Fothagela is a one of my favorites. I like to use that because it offers variety throughout the year. And now in fall, it's getting to a really nice color. It's got, you know, a multitude of shades, mm-hmm, of reds and oranges and some yellows in there. So while it's the star in spring because it flowers, mm-hmm, before it leaves out, and that's kind of my anticipation.
Yes.
Oh, it's coming, you know, it's going to be beautiful. It also really, 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 mm-hmm, shines in the fall. So I'm looking now in fall when I'm out at people's houses and we're working with existing landscapes. I will look around and say, okay, you've got a spot here that's just not singing.
Mm-hmm.
What's singing in this garden, and where, right, do we need to provide some accent, particularly at this, mm-hmm, time of year? And so I look for places, and then I'll look for that need that kind of attention, and I'll look for, you know, what size.
Uh-huh.
So if you want something with fall color that's smaller, you can look at or chokeberry. There's a variety out that's low-scape mound, which gets about 2 feet tall. It stays relatively small. It also flowers, but right now it's changing color into, again, there's reds. We also sell a low-scape hedger, mm-hmm, plant, which is taller than that and more upright,
right,
and as it suggests, is more of a hedging plant.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll use the low-scape mound in particular in the front edges of beds,
okay,
because they're low.
Right.
They don't hide some of the more the larger plants in the back, so they allow those plants to, mm-hmm, sing when it's their time. But they're really sharp right now in the garden.
And what I find interesting is I love the way you have the musical connection to it, because it's something that's flow, both in, but it's color and substance giving flow to something that's musical. I think that's a very interesting,
yeah,
approach.
And a lot of times I'll have a discussion with my my customers and my clients. I'll say gardens are not static.
Right.
They change. Right now, you know, your sun's like this, and but know that when we plant a tree here, we want,
mm-hmm,
this tree here,
right,
that your garden's going to change. For a while, you know, it's still going to be sunny, but you'll have to maybe make some adaptations and adjustments,
uh-huh,
as, you know, time goes by.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's a lot of flow and
wonderful
movement.
Wonderful. We've Lawrence just motioned me that we've got a caller on the line. So let's... is she going to be on the line, Lawrence? Or okay, go ahead.
Hello. Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi.
I'm so interested,
good morning,
in what you were saying.
What's your question?
I have a question on African violets. I have them. They bloom beautifully for me, but they're growing out of the pot. And I'm wondering how, if I can just take them and break them apart and repot them, or how, if I have to re-root them some way.
I tell you what, Sandy from the Garden Club in Milton, we're going to talk with her next. But, Sandy, jump on and give her some
yes,
insight into that.
Yes. I can't believe they're jumping out of the pot. But, anyway, just you can break them apart and you can re-root them. You stick them in a little bit of dirt and, you know, try to separate them and, you know, they'll be fine.
Yeah, good. That's what I wanted to do, because I wanted to try and save them.
Perfect.
But they're just getting too big and pushing themselves out. So
good.
All righty. Well, thank you very much.
I'm glad
I'll break
them in and we can answer your question.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Deb,
yeah,
thanks very much for joining us this morning and giving us some insight. I think that I would encourage people who don't know about us to come and check us out. We've spent some this morning with designers and with salespeople, and I would say if there's anything you need, we've got somebody here that's got the talent and the know-how to take care of you.
Absolutely.
So it's been a pleasure having you on the show this morning, and I'm going to shift gears now to all things Milton. So good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good morning.
So there's a lot going on in Milton, and I'm fortunate to have both Sandy and Catherine join this morning. And we're going to talk a little bit about some exciting activities going on. So, Sandy, going to open it up
yes,
with you.
Yes, I'll open it up with our new Fall Back into Milton. It's going to be next Saturday, October 19th, from 11 to 4. And a lot of the businesses have gotten together downtown, and we're going to have all things going on, costume contests. We're going to have live music. We're going to have food vendors. We're going to have some trucks and everything. A holiday magic show. The library will be in the Memorial Park.
Oh, nice.
We're going to have a walker and bicycle parade, a zombie cooking decorating, and we will all be at the Pollinator Garden on Union Street, which Catherine's going to talk about in a few minutes.
Okay.
And we do have our club is going to be doing face painting and pumpkin decorating.
Oh, nice.
This is all for the families for downtown and community, and it's all free.
Oh,
you
that's
know,
wonderful.
You know, you have to pay for your food, but everything uh-huh. else, the businesses are giving out door prizes and everything. They did this years ago. Uh-huh. Actually, Catherine was into that, too, about 10 years ago, and so now it's coming back, and hopefully this is the first year, and I think we're going to really do great.
I think so, and I was very impressed as I was reading about kind of the genesis of the event. Things changed back towards the end of September with
yes.
the Zombie Fest
yes.
and that, and you folks just kind of rallied, regrouped, and you know, we're able to come up
yes.
with I think a very nice, you know, it's going to be a fun event.
Well, that was basically our comic book man Julian Justin. He has the comics and he has the Ghostbuster. He has every year he does this with alongside with the you know for Zombie Fest.
Uh-huh.
So this year this you know it's changed. So he said, I have all these people coming, the bands. He said, she got together with
oh,
Mary
nice.
Knight from the director of the Milton Historical Society, and then they got us all together, and this is what happened.
Well, it's impressive what
yes.
you've pulled together.
Yes.
And, you know, Catherine, I know that you're heading up everything with the Pollinator Garden, the Pollinator Project. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I loved listening to Deb because actually I'm going to be in the Pollinator Garden this afternoon,
oh,
and I'm
nice.
Going to see if it sings to
there
me.
You go. I think actually, it's an amazing metaphor.
I love that, and certainly it buzzes to me because that was the whole purpose.
Yeah.
It was a project of the Women's Club of Milton, and we're not known for doing any gardening.
Oh,
so we
okay.
had to get help from the garden club to help us with that. We've had tremendous help. And it has been, I think, a very successful project.
Oh, that sounds like a great collaboration.
It was wonderful. We have worked with probably 10 different of the nonprofits who have
uh-huh.
sent people to help us. The Milton Community Foundation gave us a little money to get us started. We've raised money by having some silent auctions.
Uh-huh.
And I have been in the garden every second Saturday and talking to people. And if you walk by and I'm there, you have to come in the garden.
Right. Now, where is the Pollinator Garden located?
It is at 214 Union Street. It's the property next door to the Milton Historical Society.
Oh, okay. That's a good reference point for people.
Yes. The Historical Society bought that property
uh-huh.
a number of years ago after the lady who lived there died. She was a friend of mine, and
oh,
really a
okay.
little part of me is doing this garden for her.
That's wonderful. A wonderful tribute. That's really a great thing to do. So, folks, there's a lot going on in Milton next weekend, right? What time do the events start, Sandy?
11 to 4.
11 to 4.
Yes.
And there's just there's things for adults. There's things for children. Mm-hmm. There's things for gardeners. There's things to just hang out. There's things to eat. So,
yes, it's going to be a fun day.
I would encourage everybody to come out and
we'll
join
paint
them.
Your face.
Yeah, hopefully I'll paint. paint your face and you can decorate a pumpkin. I hope to come back next month, Donna, and talk about our Holly Fest.
Absolutely.
We got a new location this year, so thank you for having us.
We can count on that. Folks, it seems like every time I turn around, we got another break coming up. So we're going to take a short break, and then we will be back with you on the Delmarva Potting Shed. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Delmarva Potting Shed. We are having a ball here this morning talking about all things fall and watching tons of people go by with wagons full of things from the yard sale, and also our normally priced things are here too, but come in and enjoy the food. We've got hot dogs on the grill, and joining me now is no stranger to the radio here. It's Linda Peters, one of the master gardeners, and Linda, I've had you on several times. You've been on with Val. But I was thinking this time, with every introduction, I'm having people kind of give a little bit of background, too. So talk a little bit about your gardening, becoming a master gardener, how long you've been doing it. I think people will be, it'll be very interesting to see the things you do.
I didn't become a master gardener until I retired. Mm-hmm. And then I had always done a little bit of gardening, but not a lot of gardening, mm-hmm. and I really didn't feel like I knew a lot about gardening. I found the Master Gardeners workshops, mm-hmm. and I started attending them. And after I'd been going to them about a year, I thought, I'd like to do this. This is something I'm interested right. in and would like to do this in my retirement. So I've been a Master Gardener for 13 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, and I still love every minute of it.
And, you know, in that 13 years after you mm-hmm. took, you know, the classes and started working, with the group, you also have assumed a lot of additional responsibilities. So tell folks a little bit about that as to what you do with workshops and outreach and, mm-hmm. the different organizational things that you do with the Master Gardeners.
Okay. Really, what I do is pretty easy, because the Master Gardeners are a good bunch of people, and I coordinate the workshop schedule mm-hmm. in the workshops, and all I have to do is say, does anybody want to do a workshop, and the schedule's just about done.
There you go.
And because everybody's anxious to share their passion mm-hmm. with people. I also coordinate the information tables we do at different venues.
Right.
We go out and we have a table where we answer questions or maybe do a small demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing. I say we're going here, we're going there, and the next thing you know, I have enough volunteers to go here and
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's a great bunch of people who really enjoy the educational outreach that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes my coordination job simple.
Right, and that's where you and we connected originally, because I was in the 2015 class of Master Gardeners, mm-hmm. and that was after I retired also, but then I came out of retirement to work here, so I'm still in decent standing, but I'm not able to participate as much. But I think the connection you and I have had most recently is the coordination that you do with the workshops, and I think it was a great idea that we've had just as many as we can come on and talk about their workshops, because it is their passion. But I know the one that you want to talk about in particular this morning is what's coming up next weekend with the Master Gardeners.
Yes, next Saturday we're having what we call a Fall Fest at our demonstration
mm-hmm.
garden, which, even though it's very late in the season now, still has a lot of
right.
very interesting things going on. And it's a lot blooming.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to share it. We tend to do a lot of sharing in the spring and summer,
uh-huh.
not so much in the fall. So that's what we wanted to do. In addition to the garden and the Master Gardeners there to answer questions, we're going to have some games.
Oh, nice.
One of the games we're going to do is we're going to play bingo.
Ah.
But it's good, bad, good bug, bad bug, bingo. So it's going to be educational as well as a fun
oh, that's
activity.
Nice.
And we're going to paint rocks and We're going to have tic-tac-toe and a couple other games. So it's, we're going to have something for every age, mm-hmm. I think. So we're excited about doing this.
Yeah. And so, and this is the first time for this, isn't it? Or this particular one?
Yes, it is. Last year we had something in the fall where we painted pumpkins. And we decided this year to do a little bit more in the garden and have a few educational activities as well as fun activities.
Mm-hmm. And I know that we've got one more workshop coming up in the fall series. And that's going to be the Woodland Trail Walk. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes. We have a Woodland Trail that's on the property, UD's property, that we go through. And we have different stops where we talk about different interesting things in the woods. Mm-hmm. Many people we find have never been to the woods.
Right.
And so this is an opportunity for them to learn. We also have... just this week added two more workshops to our schedule.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, you and I have to connect on that then.
Yes, yes. We're going to have Richard Pratt's going to come November 5th and talk about pruning.
Oh, wow. I've seen his stuff.
Yeah, he's really an expert at it. And then on December 10th, we're going to have a Yule log workshop where we take a log and we decorate it for Christmas, and you can burn it afterwards if you'd like to, or just keep it as a decorative item for the winter.
Oh, that's really cool. Those are nice additions. So you and I will have to get together and get those folks. Now Brent's doing the Woodland Trail, right?
Right. Yes, he is, and he's really an expert at it.
Yeah, he's very animated, I guess, and also very, very knowledgeable.
Well, yes.
Linda, it's great having you on.
Thank you.
It's any time we can talk about the Master Gardeners, I just think it's wonderful work. Next week is our Nanticoke Health Fair, and the Master Gardeners, Fran's going to be here with the Garden Smart,
Garden Easy table.
Group. Linda's right. I just call her and say, have you got somebody? And she goes out and gets them, and they it works like a charm. So, folks, we're up against another break. You're listening to the Delmarva Potting Shed. We're having a wonderful time here this morning, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
The following program is a paid commercial presentation. The comments, views, and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff, management, or advertisers of Delaware 1059.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Delmarva Potting Shed. This is Donna at the mic today. Shout out to Valerie and Rick. I think you're listening, and
hey.
We miss you. Hey.
Hey.
Oh, Lawrence, I love you.
Hey, Kate, what's going on back at Station HQ?
And sliding in home just now is... Michaela, she's from our growing division, and we're going to spend some time talking with her. I'll let her catch her breath, and I'll do a few reminders. We are here at East Coast Garden Center today. We have a big yard sale going on, and Michaela has been feverishly supplying everything that's going out the door. Also, there's free hot dogs for lunch, so come grab some of those. And just there's the children's garden is open. All the activities are going on there. Face painting, and for anybody that has used or played with the frog flipper, it was the kids got into it so much that we actually had to do repairs. But I want to let the public know that the frog flipper is back in commission, and haven't been over there this morning to see that. So a lot going on here, but I've asked Michaela to join us because there's some exciting things that she's involved in that I think I hope it would be interesting for the public to know kind of what goes on behind the scenes. We talk about our events and what product we have, but I think that there's a big appreciation for how does it all get here and what does it do. And Michaela, I've one of the things I've done this morning is every time somebody from our staff comes in, I always brag on how smart our people are, how talented they are, and you rank right up there with that. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got here and all those kind of things.
Sure. So I got interested in horticulture back in high school. My high school ag teacher actually pushed me to, you know, get involved in the greenhouses and get involved in horticulture, and I fell in love with it.
Oh, nice.
So I went to school for that, and then once I graduated, I started here, and I've been here since.
Yeah, it's you have definitely made an impact. I mean, I think that's exciting to, you know, a lot of times people don't quite know what they want to do, and for you to come out, you know, go to, and get the schooling that you think that's what you want to do, and then have it work out for a job.
It truly was a blessing that I found this place.
It's magnificent. And as I mentioned, Michaela is part of our nursery division. And so talk a little bit about what you do there.
So with George, we're the growers for the shrubs and now the perennials. So we're involved in everything from propagating to up-potting to fertilizing and trimming and, you know, everything that is involved with growing plants. We help with the ordering for trees and shrubs, maintaining everything that's here pretty much. And then part of my job is also to stock the garden center and pull for landscape designers and all that. So.
Yeah, I was looking up a little bit of data and asked Michaela if these numbers rang true with her. But so far this year, we have sold over 32,000 trees and shrubs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a lot.
It's been a lot. And so, you know, that's over a 9-month period. So I think that's that just gives you an idea of the magnitude of things that are just in your portion of the operation here. And you mentioned that you know, now you're going to be doing the perennials, and I thought that would be interesting because I talked about how so many things happen behind the scenes, and so this is something that we're expanding y'all's area of coverage from not just the shrubs and trees, but also into the perennials. So what's it been like? What are the things you've had to go through, you and George, to venture into a new area of responsibility?
Yeah, it's been fun, but it's also been a challenge, you know, trying to get a handle of what each plant likes, and, you know, does it like a lot of water, doesn't not want a lot of water, did we make the right choice on variety, you know, is it better to trim it now or trim it later, what fertilizer does it want, does it want a high nitrogen fertilizer or a lower nitrogen fertilizer, so.
And I don't think people realize that the number of variables that are there as you're trying to, especially, you know, go through the whole growing process, not just, you know, bring in a finished product, that those are all things that there's things that you know about the plant from the specifications, but I'm sure there's a lot of trial and error, like you say, as to, you know, what exactly is going to work best for the growing conditions that you have here.
Yeah.
So as you look at, if you transition or as you're expanding your responsibility, I was curious to see, so you've done shrubs, And now you're doing also perennials. What are the things that you learn in doing shrubs that were transferable into expanding into perennials?
It's hard to say because, I mean, a lot of the things that we're trying, we still can't see results yet.
Oh, okay, that's true.
It takes a while to see, you know, does top dress fertilizer like we use for shrubs, is that the best option for perennials, or is it better to liquid feed?
Ah.
And we can't really see that difference yet because it's only been a couple months. So we're kind of still waiting for that, but they're both similar in the fact that, you know, they need water.
Water, light.
The perennials do seem to flag a lot faster, so they'll wilt, you know, and dry out a lot faster. And part of that is because they're in a smaller pot. But one of the things is when they go down a lot faster than shrubs.
So you use the term they'll flag you. I think I know what that means, but what?
The leaves will start to wilt.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've said to folks, I said, if there's something going on with the plant, they're going to let you know.
Yes.
So the main thing is just pay attention.
Yep.
You know? So I'm looking for, I've been up and looked at the houses. That's the other aspect is you've got three new greenhouses now across the street. So
yeah.
What's going on with those?
Well, the first house is where I pull all the plants for the designers, so that the landscapers can just come and grab their plants and they don't have to search everywhere.
Right.
But the second two houses are absolutely gorgeous. I love the structure. They're just beautiful to look at.
Yes.
They are for the perennials, and they are filling up, and I'm sure by the time we finish potting up these grasses that we got in, they're going to be full.
Oh, y'all probably, listeners are probably going, that's silly. What do they mean they have a beautiful greenhouse? They are awesome. These new greenhouses are just amazing. They're extremely long. I mean, you just see the visuals with it and the functionality. Is really great too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm excited. I can't wait to see what we have coming in this spring. So I'm going to shift gears on you a little bit. And Michaela has many ventures in her life, and in addition to everything she does here, she also has llamas, and alpacas. She's laughing at me. She has one llama and three alpacas. Four now, right? How many alpacas?
Man, we're up to six.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even keep up with it.
Six alpacas.
So, anyway, they look a lot alike. Llamas are bigger than alpacas.
Yeah.
But, and the uses of them are different, too. She's definitely laughing at me. So, we do have an event coming up later. It's going to start on November 23rd and go through December 21st. But the important thing on November 23rd is a craft show. And Michaela's going to be one of the vendors there at the craft show. So fill us in on all things alpaca and everything associated with it.
Yeah, so alpaca fiber is... It has two big claim to fame, you know, like the first one is that it's softer than cashmere and warmer than wool.
Wow.
And then the second one is that it's hypoallergenic. And so that makes it really nice for babies, children, people with sensitive skin, because they're able to utilize alpaca fiber and not have to worry about rashes and allergic reactions and all of that. So a lot of the things that I make are, you know, simple but useful. And so hats, scarves, I do dryer balls instead of dryer sheets. We take the fiber and use it, package it for the birds.
Right.
And then I also get into soaps and candles. And I put the fiber in the soap, which some people think is a little off-putting. But if you think about it, it's like a built-in scrubby.
Right, it's like a loaf of sponge or something like that.
Or a washcloth that's already in there. And then it's just like your hair. It goes away. And then for the kids, I have a little alpaca toy. and I'll put that in the piece of soap. And, you know, they just love to take a bath because they want to get that toy.
I want to get that soap, right? Yeah, I want to get that toy out of there. I think it's just so creative. You know, last year we had here in the Garden Center, and we'll continue to have your alpaca wreaths.
Yeah.
And those are great for bird lovers. The alpaca fiber is the best material, especially for nesting birds, because it has such protection for the young birds when they're born, in terms of, like you said, that it doesn't retain water. Mm-hmm. It's soft, and it's just one of the amazing things. So, Michaela, thank you for joining us. We got to hear about a lot of things. Great operation that you're running, and it's going to be very, very exciting, and I can't wait to see all the boys when they're here along with Teddy.
They'll be here.
Those are her children, by the way. So, folks, we're up against our last break before the last segment of the show, and we're here at East Coast Garden Center. You could give us a call, 302-839-1059. You could text us or call in. We got time for a few questions before we end the show, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Let's do apply.
Good morning, everybody. This is Donna on the Delmarva Potting Shed, and if you, I want to thank Lawrence because he knows that Layla is my favorite song, and so he brought us back with that. But we're here in our last segment of the Delmarva Potting Shed. We're here on 302-839-1059. If you've got any questions, give us a call. I've got Maria sitting here with us now.
Hello.
And especially if you've got plant questions, disease questions, diagnostic questions, Maria is right on top of all of that. And again, Maria, what I've been doing today is I talk about everybody is just being so talented, so smart, so knowledgeable, so then they ended up here at East Coast Garden Center.
Yeah, we got a good crowd.
And, you know, you have an amazing background in this business, so I thought we should share it with the listeners.
So it's right about that time to start bringing your house plants in mm-hmm. from outside if you have tropicals or just your regular house plants that you put out for the summer. Mine are still on my front porch. They're just lovely. I don't want to bring them in yet, but the nights have been getting a little bit cooler.
Right.
So if we do get a frost, with some of that nice fresh growth on there, you might get a little bit of burn. Yeah. So you might want to consider bringing them, you know, back inside. To winter over, go into their dormancy if it's a tropical. There's another thing if you want to extend the outside life of your plants, you can always throw a sheet over them
if
you think that you know it's going to get a little bit too chilly at night. Of course, not a frost.
No,
but you know, a sheet will protect them over the evening. The one important thing to do, as I always stress in the newsletters, is to inspect them before they come inside. I like to use neem oil on my plants.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great product because it's organic.
Right.
You can use it on anything, house plants, tropicals, fruits, vegetables, up to the day of harvest, and it'll pretty much take care of anything.
Yep. So when people, I'm going to get back into the rudimentary of it. So when people are inspecting, kind of give them an idea of things to be looking for that, you know, as to whether it's probably a disease or whether it could be insect or the types of things that as they're scouting and looking at their plants before they bring them in.
Okay. So what you want to check the stems. Mm-hmm. You want to check underneath the leaves, on top of the leaves, in the crotches of the plants, you know, generally all over on the plant for insect and disease, for things like white flies, or aphids or mealybugs. Kind of difficult to get rid of that bugger.
And you're
going to
have definite visuals on those. Okay.
Yeah. And if you, you know, if you can't, you see something, you can't identify it, you can always send us pictures.
Right.
You can bring a piece of the plant in. You could send it to sales at eastcoastgardencenter.com, and we can diagnose pretty much anything.
That's true.
It's really amazing what we can do just with pictures. So you definitely want to thoroughly inspect the plants. And when I'm talking about diseases, the insects themselves, the aphids are usually yellow. They're tiny. White flies, white, of course, very small. And mealybugs are kind of fuzzy looking.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to check for that. If you do see it, you want to take care of it. And diseases generally, maybe like powdery mildew or downy mildew or something like that, where the tips of the leaves are brown, or you can see a white powder substance on
mm-hmm.
it. You can take care of that with a neem oil. Now, what I like to do with my plants inside, neem oil is an oil.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit sticky. So spraying that in the house can be tricky because
mm-hmm.
you don't, if you're spraying, just a silly example is I was spraying out my plants out on my front porch in front of a window without even thinking. I got
now
the oil all over the window. You know, so you want to be careful with that. We also carry two products made by Bonide,
mm-hmm.
Which one is called 8, and then the other one is a systemic granules.
Uh-huh.
I like to use both of those no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
On your plants. The granules you put into the soil and it's activated by water and the plant takes it up into its vascular system.
So it's kind of a you know, preventative type of approach.
Yep, just like, you know, you or I, if we were taking an antibiotic.
Exactly.
Working from the inside out. So use that product in conjunction with the product called 8, which is a topical spray,
mm-hmm.
and you do that throughout the season, and you kind of, if you keep up on that,
right,
you know, you got a healthy plant.
Well, I think it's great advice. Anytime we can have you on to get your perspective so that people know what to do, and I can't believe it, but we are right at the that was quick. We are right mm-hmm. at the end. I always appreciate Val and her wonderful quotes and thoughts. So I just wanted to leave people with this thought. Let us be grateful to people who make us happy. They are the charming gardeners who make our souls blossom.
Sweet.
So may all your souls blossom. It's been fun talking with you from East Coast Garden Center. We've got a lot of great things going on this week. Next weekend is going to be Harvest Fest. And everybody, y'all come back.